You're listening to the MoneyWeb Now podcast series with Simon Brown. Live streamed every weekday at 6:30 a.m.
Friday, 29 October. I'm Simon Brown, coming at you live and loud from the MoneyWeb studios in Houghton, Johannesburg. On the show today, chatting with Nessa Nair, we're going to touch on those EOH results and has a bush market, love that update, and some PGM deals. Just they're coming thick and fast. I think we're up to four now this week. And then we chat with Charles Heger from Stanlib. They've done a giant tie-up, a joint venture with JP Morgan Asset Management, a strategic partnership they're calling it. And then some thoughts. Ascendus shareholder activists now suddenly control 30% of the voting shares. The show is brought to you by Stanlib. Visit stanlib.com to get in touch with one of their investment specialists. Stanlib Asset Management is an authorized financial services provider. Morning headlines from MoneyWeb. Private sector to invest another $50 billion in renewables. And minister announced it last night. Prices coming in under coal. In other words, we now got renewables that are cheaper than the dirty. In Business Insider, Facebook is changing its name to Meta. This is obviously the holding company. So Facebook, Instagram, WhatsApp, Oculus all remain with their names. But now instead of saying Facebook, we will say Meta. Morning markets, US was nicely green, S&P up 1%, NASDAQ up 1.2%, both closing at new all-time highs. Asia's red, however, Sydney off 0.7%, Tokyo down a little, down 0.1%. Commodities mostly green overnight, gold 1,798, Brent 82.89 a barrel, palladium 1,998, back below that 2,000 level. Rand 15.14, top 40. Looking for about a 240-point red open. That's about 0.4%. That is 10-cent trades down 0.7% in Hong Kong.
MoneyWeb Now. On the money. Also available on podcast.
Chatting now with Nessa Nair, portfolio manager at Sasfin Securities. Nessa, appreciate the early morning EOH numbers out yesterday. Operating profit, but it's still a headline earnings loss. Some nuances there. I got to say, this has been, I thought, a really good sort of turnaround and fix-up by Stephen von Collier. Market perhaps a little more jaundiced. What's your take on the results and EOH looking forward?
Yeah, good morning, Simon. I tend to agree with you. You know, if you look at the sort of mammoth task Stephen was given, you know, it was a business that was in terrible shape reputationally. I think it's the first thing that he had to deal with as a result of many sort of corporate governance failures. That was something else that he had to deal with. Mm. And even operationally, you know, EOH was a combination of many sort of disparate sort of businesses put together. And, you know, you can imagine, you know, the labyrinth of complex contracts that they had to deal with. And you can't be everything to everyone. And I think, you know, what he's managed to do in the last few years is to simplify the business, identify, you know, what they are strong at and try and focus on that. And unfortunately, you're going to go through a period where, you know, your profitability is impacted. It's very costly, you know, to get all the ships to sail in the same direction, so to speak. But I think the main thing is there's progress here. You know, there is definitely, he's definitely making headway, I think, in the right direction. Small profit, 147. But as you said, at the headline level, it's still a loss. You know, while they continue to work reorganizing the business.
And how's a bush InBev third quarter result? The stock was up 13.5%. I'm not sure how much that was people liking it versus a short squeeze, because it is the most borrowed stock on the market. Or put it the other way, extremely hard to borrow, which means there's a lot out there already. I mean, were the numbers as good as the jump suggests?
I think, you know, I couldn't imagine the numbers getting worse, to be honest. You know, volumes were up, revenue were up on the back of that. But of course, it made sense because, especially in South Africa, you know, you had the easing of lockdown restrictions. You had alcohol sales being permitted over the third quarter as well. So not unusual. I think the market, I think the market was anticipating probably, you know, a flat or slightly worse result. But I think also your point about the shorts out there, are creating a hell of a lot of volatility in stocks like this. You know, I remember not so long ago, Tesla used to be the biggest short in the world.
Yeah, that's right.
And look at it now, trillion-dollar companies. I'm not entirely, my faith in the short sale is not entirely as strong as what, one might think. But, you know, just on AB InBev, I think at these levels, this, you know, it doesn't make sense to stay short of stock like this.
Mm.
The potential for recovery is very strong. And if they can address the debt levels in the company, I mean, maybe they do a rights issue, which is, but if they can address the debt levels, this should be over 2,000 rand a share.
Yeah, and those debt levels, thank you, SAB Miller shareholders are smiling all the way to the bank around that one. A last point, we are seeing mining activities. Implats wants to buy Royal Bafokeng King. Sibanye-Stillwater, man, they announced a deal on Monday and did it on Tuesday and then announced another one on Wednesday. We've now got African Rainbow Minerals wanting some of the assets out of Anglo Platinum. We kind of knew it was coming. It's all sort of arrived this week. My sense is, I mean, if you look at the Implats deal, the Royal Bafokeng makes sense. It's better reefs. It's not even adjacent. It is the same reefs that Implats is mining. My concern is they're buying at the top of the market.
Yeah, it's, this deal, Simon, you'll remember when RB Plats listed back in 2010, it was always a bigger shareholder than was Implats, right? Mm. There's always on the cards this deal. It was, as you say, it's a contiguous mine to the Implats mine that are around the area. Implats had the smelting capacity. All those ones, it made sense for them to buy it. But right now, I think with where palladium and platinum prices are, Implats obviously sitting with a lot of cash right now in a much better position to do the deal. So it was a deal that was always going to happen, and it looks like it's going to happen this week. But what I'm also, scratching my head to think about, on the one hand, that commodity prices are quite high. You know that commodity companies tend to do these sort of deals at highs in the commodity prices. But at the same time, I think the market's concern around inflation is creating the scramble for very good assets out there.
Mm.
Because in an inflationary environment, you actually want to hold hard, real assets. So, from that perspective, it may make sense, these commodity price, sort of these sort of deals taking place right now. If we anticipate the next 10 years, it's going to have much higher inflation than what we saw in the past. It will filter through ultimately to commodity prices. So that's the only sort of reason I can sort of imagine as to why there's a scramble for these good assets.
Yeah, that's actually a great point. I hadn't thought of that. And of course, Sibanye also gave us an update. And basically, they made $1 billion in the quarter, $1 billion, so they can afford to go. And that's what they're buying.
The price of those Brazilian mines.
Exactly. They basically buy Brazil with one quarter of profits. The numbers are insane. Nessun Nayar, portfolio manager, Sasfin Securities, always appreciate the early morning time. EOH, a poll today on Twitter and LinkedIn. EOH making a operating profit, but HEP still a loss. But hey, a 22 cent loss versus a 5.34. Stephen Van Collier has done a great job. Are you buying as it recovers? Let us have your vote, have your say on our Twitter and LinkedIn profiles.
We all have different investment needs. Some of us want to preserve our money for retirement and others to create wealth for the next generation. At Stanlib, we have a team of investment specialists that can help you achieve any investment goal. So whether your money is looking for more certainty, more return, or more impact through your investments, we have a solution for your investment needs, no matter the time horizon. Join us over the next few months as we provide insights into the solutions we offer to meet your money needs. To find out more, visit stanlib.com or speak to your financial advisor. Stanlib Asset Management is an authorized financial services provider. License number 719.
MoneyWeb now. On the money.
I'm chatting with Giles Heger, Executive Asset Management at Stanlib. Giles, appreciate your time today. A deal announced just last week from Stanlib, a strategic partnership with JP Morgan Asset Management. Before I delve into it, I mean, just for scope of it, JP Morgan is a giant in the global asset management world. I mean, $2.7 trillion of assets under management. It's staggering numbers.
Hi, yes, Simon, thanks. And thanks for the opportunity to chat. And you're absolutely right. I mean, JP Morgan Asset Management, obviously one of the biggest asset management companies in the world. I think your numbers are about right, 2.7 trillion around there. But not only that, compared to many others in that sort of size bracket, they're also actually one of the leading active investment managers are generating investment returns, and they're not just a solely an index provider or similar.
Yeah, fair point. Some of those large ones are sort of more sort of the passive, the index trackers. Yeah. The strategic partnership, I mean, what's the thinking behind it? Why important for Stanlib?
So from a South African perspective and from a Stanlib perspective, obviously, the global investment universe is pretty enormous. And at Stanlib, we can't be specialists in everything. So like other South African managers, we've always had partnerships of one form or another so that we can provide customers with access to investment returns where we just don't have the scale to have direct expertise. And, you know, a practical example is, you know, we simply don't have a couple of hundred people on the ground in China, as an example. I think what stands out for us of this particular partnership and why this is so exciting for us is obviously, you know, we've just touched on it now, JP Asset Management, you know, one of the best asset managers from an investment performance perspective in the world. But with that, you know, as you outline, incredible depth and reach. But special for us in this particular relationship compared to our other relationships we've had historically and some of the others that you find, I mean, the SA market, is they've really committed to helping us improve our local business, our business of Stanlib, and both in our investment capability and in our distribution capability, rather than simply providing us with investment products. And that's really just about, you know, for our investment teams, access to their investment teams, access to their research, access to debates, and similar kinds of benefits in the distribution world to our distribution team.
Yeah, I get that. It brings some world-class skills at the same process. It also comes at an interesting time in the industry. We've seen some local asset managers. You know, we've had the IBSA, Sanlam, rather. We've got some other sort of UK operations buying in locally. Not, I don't want to say a shake-up, but certainly a shifting within our local industry.
Yeah, I think that's right. I mean, there are a few things happening in the local industry. You know, the first is globally for some time now, the decision on whether your focus is niche or scale has been important for quite some time. That's starting to play out in the South African market. And obviously, we've all seen a few people take a view on that. Then I think the second thing that is happening, and it's, you know, it's much like it's happening in many other industries. Investment, generation investment returns, as we all know, it's part art and it's part science. And the science part has really been evolving rapidly in the last 10 years globally. And, you know, with the development of, you know, things like AI, things like big data, et cetera. And, you know, that's that we think is going to impact the local market in due course as well. And this transaction for us helps us materially with both of those. It really helps us with the scale, but it also gives us access to someone who's made some real investments in global advances in the science part of investments.
Yeah, I get that. And you did say that the science, I mean, there's knowledge, there's information as well. Obviously, kind of at the core of it is going to be new products to the market. What sort of products will they be?
So we not, I mean, the one thing we're not planning on doing with this is, if you like, suddenly issuing a sort of a plethora of investment products.
Yeah.
The product construct will focus on two things. One is in parts of our international proposition, we've got some gaps relative to what demand is from the South African customer base. And we need to fill some of those gaps. And some of it is around equity. Some of it is around multi-asset portfolios. but we are two or three portfolios short of what is a comprehensive offering for the market. Then, secondly, the other component that they provide is where we are already managing multi-asset portfolios that include a global and local component. It provides us the opportunity to access some specialist niche investment strategies at our own standard portfolio manager's discretion. So an example, I mean, we're not planning on launching something right now, but an example might mean that we could put a specific dedicated allocation to active Chinese equities into one of our balanced portfolios. So the sort of thing we would have in mind.
So I get you on that. So it's not just going to be, you're sort of going to take one of their products, white label it and sell it in South Africa. It's going to be, I mean, we've spoken around the technology, around the science of investing, but it's also going to be those skills and knowledge they've got. I mean, for example, one of your local asset managers in Johannesburg might feel that they need a bit of extra depth or knowledge in a certain sector, maybe a company or something, and now they've got almost a giant global team that they can tap into.
It's exactly that. And, you know, we've already seen some examples of that in practice. And, you know, probably the two most recent ones that have been really valuable to us, you know, first of all, is chatting to a firm with really deep U.S. Connections to get a better understanding of the unfolding change in new potential U.S. monetary policy and inflation in that context. And the other thing where the investment teams have exchanged information, and I think it's been useful for us to have a global player willing to debate issues with us, is around some of the recent changes we saw in China just over a month ago. Really useful for us to be able to talk to people that are managing money directly on the ground in China and are on a day-to-day basis deeply involved with some of that. So, you know, both of those are practical examples of where it's really benefited us, other than simply providing us with some gaps in our product, which obviously there's that. And in due course also, we are looking forward to making some of their thought leadership, some of their differentiated research insights also available to our customers via events and conferences straight from the JP Morgan representatives.
We'll leave it there. That's Giles Hager, Executive Asset Management Standard. Giles, appreciate the time today.
We all have different investment needs. Some of us want to preserve our money for retirement and others to create wealth for the next generation. At Stanlib, we have a team of investment specialists that can help you achieve any investment goal. So whether your money is looking for more certainty, more return, or more impact through your investments, we have a solution for your investment needs, no matter the time horizon. Join us over the next few months as we provide insights into the solutions we offer to meet your money needs. To find out more, visit stanlib.com or speak to your financial advisor. Stanlib Asset Management is an authorized financial services provider. License number 719.
MoneyWeb now. On the money.
Some thoughts from me on the week, although it's really just one thought. An Ascendus Sense came out late yesterday afternoon informing us that a Mr. H. Smith has notified the company that via a voting pool agreement, he has beneficial interests of the company of 30%. In essence, it's shareholder activism. What Mr. Smith has done is got a whole bunch of private, smaller shareholders who have pooled together to vote one way, and it's going to be fascinating. He will rock up at an AGM, an EGM, with the single biggest voter. We see this a lot in Australia, where the Shareholders Association will get proxy votes from individual private small shareholders, and oftentimes at the AGM they're 10 or 15% of the vote. It's not a control stake, it's not even a negative control stake, but it is a significant a chunk, and it's an interesting development we're seeing in our local market. That's it for today. The poll we were asking you yesterday on our LinkedIn and Twitter, we're chatting with Darren Healy there from Famous Brands, and we were asking your preferred Spur, Famous Brands. It's small. 5% of you said it's Spur. A third of you about 15% of you said it's Famous Brands. But most of you were saying thanks. A third saying not buying, but eating, certainly liking the products. Half of you just not for you. So the sensors on the QSR space, you folks are not excited or bullish. Remember, have your vote, have your say, LinkedIn or Twitter. The show is brought to you by Stanlib. Visit stanlib.com to get in touch with one of their investment specialists. Stanlib Asset Management is an authorized financial services provider. We're live every weekday morning, the MoneyWeb website and the app, 6:30 a.m. Podcast available just after 7. Huge thanks to my team, Eddie, Nicole, Nabuchle, to you for listening, my guests for their early morning contributions. My name is Simon Brown. This is MoneyWeb Now. We'll chat again Tuesday because Monday we go a-voting.
You've been listening to another MoneyWeb Now podcast, posted every weekday at 7 a.m. on moneyweb.co.za. MoneyWeb Now, on the money.